Live from Studio A, I'm Chris Harwood. We have in the studio today Keith Sekola, who is a Minnesota native but is now living down in Tempe, Arizona. And he's playing live in Studio A right now. And so let's start with some music.
Is there everybody on the Northland?
Keith Sekola live at Studio A here on KMD. Name of that song?
This is called The Wailing Blues.
Wailing Blues. And that's off of your album called, with your Wild Band of Indians band.
Yeah, the Finger Monkey album. And the Wailing Blues, I always said it was at the intersection of Minnehaha and Hiawatha and at the intersection of the kick drum and the powwow drum.
There you go.
You know, it's at an intersection of past and future. And so it is a very present song, you know.
Indeed. Now you you seems that to me that you have a lot of a broad range of influences that you grab from. You're not somebody who necessarily is staying steeped in Native American tradition. You're mixing and blending a bit.
Well, you get a certain sensibility, a rock and roll sensibility, I guess is what it is, because you study the blues and jazz and reggae music and folk music and all these other kind of styles. And then since living in Arizona, I've been playing a lot of with Latin bands and Chicano bands and things like that. You know, I think it's Latin is the proper term now, just as Native Americans have gone through a metamorphosis of getting rid of some lexicon that was improper.
Right. Well, there's a reggaeton, and I've heard lots of, and there's still that, what's the border tradition I'm thinking of now?
Chicken scratch music.
Yes, chicken scratch.
Walla music.
Yeah.
It's a great concept, and it's a wild concept. I've been down to Tucson when they had the chicken scratch festival or Walla music festival, and it's in the streets, and 5,000 people come out listening to Walla music. And what it is chicken scratch music is the English slang for it. What had happened was the German influences of instruments and polkas were contacted with the Southwest through Spanish and through other influences, and they left their instruments there for 100 years to ferment in the desert of the Southwest. And so all they had is the ideas of polkas, you know, Mexican meal polkas and things like that. So the music is very similar to the Iron Range polkas in a funny, funny kind of way.
Oh, I suppose it would be.
Yeah, because of the keyboards, a lot of them have certain musical structures.
Sure.
And then the boom, 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 you know, the one and the two kind of beat. One, two, one, two, the up, you know, the first, and so it's very similar, and they got different kind of styles. So
yeah.
My whole answer to the question about all these eclectic styles, you know, you learn in each decade you're kind of into rock and roll, and then you're into reggae music, and then you're into jazz, and, you know, but it comes around into all about the song, you know, that all these parts are not more important than the song, and the song is your life, you know, and that's who you are, and all these different parts are part of this great song.
Yeah. Keith Sekola, live in Studio A. Now, you grew up in Minnesota.
I grew up on the Iron Range. My latest claim is I'm the hereditary chief of the Iron Range.
Okay. So now, why the move to Tempe? What was it about the switch?
Well, it was kind of more of a metamorphosis, you know, of a growing thing. I had traveled out west. I liked the colleges, like out in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked being out west and, you know, and growing up on the Iron Range, there wasn't much support for original music, you know, and I knew Boulder was a good town, so I went to school there, and I was studying acoustic music kind of mostly.
Yeah.
And so I met, you know, my future wife who lived in the Southwest. Is a Ute Indian, and she lived in Tempe, Arizona, where her father taught, and so that's how we got relocated, and I got relocated to the west, you know, where I settled down. But I live in Tempe, Arizona, near ASU, you know, the same colors as UMD. You know, you can't get away from that maroon and gold.
No, guess not. Well, let's hear another tune.
Yeah, this is a song about the residential schools. It's a heavy, heavy subject.
Okay.
3 years ago, I was in Winnipeg when Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, in the months before, a year before, he apologized to the First Nations. And they were having these reconciliation meetings. Mm. And I happened to witness one of them. And a heavy song came out. And I have a video out now. It's like on my Facebook thing and things like that. People can look at it. Great. And I'll have it out officially on the next album.
Great.
Children. Say your name, show your faith, leave no trace of the shame to stop. Children, prayers of our children, take these tears.
Keith Sekola, live from Studio A here in 103. The reconciliation effort seemed to kind of be a sudden trend. That's like, you know, for a while, the 20th century was kind of a tough century for the Native American community, and now it seems that...
Even, too, you know, you wonder how much of an empty promise that is, you know, like, and really how much can be given back, and even the term is, how angry can we get about our deprived past?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we got to start loving in this future and in the present tense, and I think that that is coming, though, but I really think before we can move on, we have to deal with some of this pain.
Yeah.
You know, that is not just to Native people, but, you know, even if you looked up any of the history of these schools, they were all over.
Mm-hmm.
And children suffered. And that's really, you know, what you sing for is the survivors. And we're part of that surviving generation, too.
Sure.
You know, either if we didn't go to the schools, we were affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many Native American tribes lost many things because of the boarding school era. You know,
this was in addition to moving them to these boarding schools, it was also sort of a, if you'll pardon the pun, I guess, whitewashing of the culture. I mean, you sort of taught English and expected not to speak the Native tongue. And
a lot of, you know, it was a very devastating part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I think you should look at the video, because I did make a video for it from a child's drawing book called Fatty Legs, about the experience of an Inuit woman that went away to school and was cut and haircut and things like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't maybe as sexually abused as traumatically as other cases were, but yet was emotionally and physically abused and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it is, you know, you can see it. You and I, we just spent, you know, 5-10 minutes just talking about the subject.
Yeah.
And I think it's now it's time to heal it, you know, heal it with a modern ritual of singing and laughing. I think after pain, it's natural to let laughter come in.
Right.
So it starts to healing this terrible wound that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think children are part of that medicine, and songs are part of that new medicine that we're bringing to people.
This has been a busy year for you, among other things. You've gotten a big NAMI award this year, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
It seems
kind of, you give George Burns, somebody like who's 98, 99, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
I got inducted to the Native American Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
And then, because the Lifetime Achievement is an award you give just before you die.
Right.
You know, like,
let's hope that's...
So I kind of said, no, I don't want that
yet.
Okay.
No.
But we always say in Tempe, you know, we always got to reverse the curse, you know, like you say, if the cops come, which they won't, you know, or something
right.
If I get a lifetime achievement, which I won't accept.
Minnesotans know nothing about superstitions. That's
Minnesotans, I love them. I mean, it's really fun because you can tell, you know, like the Midwestern people and the people up in the North Country are friendly people, you know,
and we
want to evolve into that next era of who we've been.
Yeah.
Because our histories in the Northland are pretty brutal.
Right.
Not just the Native histories, the immigrant workers that went through the Iron Range on shores in the docks in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're piled upon pile of ethnic slurs and corruption from corporate greed, you know.
Sure.
So we're survivors, and it's kind of a neat pool that has been left.
It was really kind of a colliding of a lot of cultures at a very interesting time when that mining really exploded up there.
And then before that, the lumber industry.
Sure.
Because, you know, the white pines and the red pines, they were like, you know, tree gold.
Yeah. Interesting, they're getting harder to find these days. There's a white pine in my neighborhood, and I look at it and just sort of hope it can hang on, you know. But I used to picture those huge forests.
You know, I can tell about how old they are, because I know there's some 400-year-old pines in the state.
Yeah.
And if you ever seen one that old, you'll see the trunk is about 3/4 of the tree.
Mm.
You know, the branches are way on top.
Way on top, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you'll see some old pines, you know, they say that's 100 years old, but the trunk is maybe about half of it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't see them as often as you used to. You take for granted that lumber is just always going to be plentiful.
But the same thing as mine, your question about how we've been, you know, displaced and disfranchised in a big way by the whole industry. And now I think we're learning how we can get things back and become more. And then I think the industry has grown too, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're playing tonight at the Fond du Lac Tribal Community College, 7 p.m. You got a concert.
Yeah.
And you're also, you said you're doing something on the web, too.
On the web, right after that, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have the information, but we'll get it so it can be posted.
We'll get it on the website soon. Great. Let's do another song. We got some time for another tune, so let's see what you got.
All right. Since it's Native American month, almost Thanksgiving, I'll sing a song in Anishinaabe. And it's a Woody Guthrie song. The coolest thing about it is the translation. This land was made for you and me. Is Akin Gabi Oshutama Goyen. It means this earth we are made for her in that sense, in a literal sense. And so it's a worldview of man and woman belonging to the earth rather than the earth belonging to us. Anishinaabe ki babaya o kiwa bandam kage gigi she gamshwa wa kokok gashkarinane yaki gabi ushitamagoya o inedakim o igida Medawima Gichigami Gamashwa wa kokok Gashgadanane Aki Gabi Oshitamagoya Aki Gabi Oshitamagoya.
Anishinaabe, it's fantastic to hear it in a different language. You know, you hear that too. It's such a ubiquitous tune, and you never really think you hear it a different way. That's great.
Yeah, and it's on Woody Guthrie's, they contacted me, and they said, hey, Keith, could we use that song for in his library in New York, in the Woody Guthrie Library?
Yeah.
Because his whole aim at writing that song was to remind Americans of the corporateness of the land, and the land belongs to all of us.
Corporate in the lowercase c corporate
right.
sense, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And so that was a true sense of the song, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I always would travel with a native activist, Floyd Westerman, and he'd tease around and he'd say, oh, the translation is like this, this land is my land, this land ain't your land, get off of my land, go find your own land.
Yeah.
One time I was fooling around and an elder Anishinaabe woman came up to me, really polite, and she goes, I don't think that's what that means, you know. And I had to tell her I was being facetious, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to hear a tune with flute. You brought some,
I did.
Some wind instruments.
We'd love
to close with one with the flute on it.
And I think it's really appropriate, you know, like being next to this lake. Being next to the lake, I'm walking around the studio, if any of you students are out there listening, and I thought it was really good to come here to play at this station. It's been kind of a pioneer for up here, you know, bringing native music and bringing all kinds of music to a place, and it's a nice little sanctuary.
I'm glad you're here. We're happy to have you here. Keith Sokola, who's here.
Well, I heard about this place, and I want to do it, so... Can you give me some of that reverb from Lake Superior?
You bet.
And we'll play you guys a flute song this afternoon to honor the month of November and all our ancestors.
Beautiful. What's the name of that song?
I'm just kind of improvising on
Fantastic.
The spot. You know, like, I was maybe going to sing Yah Hena Hey, I know there's a lot of songs in Anishinaabe, different types of songs. A classification a lot that flute players sometimes do would play pipe songs that would accompaniment a medicine man
mm-hmm.
when they're filling their pipes to pray and things like that, and scout songs. And so that was kind of a scout song that I played. But I have played a lot of pipe songs for our elders and people when they conduct their ceremonies. And it's a thing where you send your prayers to the Great Spirit. It's very Gnostic in that sense,
mm-hmm.
that there's no other form of communication except between you and the Spirit. And it's kind of funny because that's what unites us all.
It does.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so that group of songs I played, you know, like, it was very improvisational. But I think the lake influences the songs because there are a number of songs in that genre that I heard kind of with the waves rolling in and things like that, about the waves coming in. But you hear things and you see things when you play music like that. And I think the flute should be played by everybody because it helps us develop an expression, what we call a heart line. You know, a heart line, a song that we can sing for ourselves when we're scared. It could be our death song when we die. It could be that song that gives us courage, but something that we develop even from our own soul. And I think the flute is that door, that instrument that can kind of connect you with that inner being.
Mm.
Because so much of us worry about the future and we worry about the past, but we forget to live in the present. And that the present is where all the medicine is, you know, like I have the choice to drink out of a plastic bottle or not, or recycle or throw away. And mm-hmm. that's happening in the present tense.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I don't have much choices as we think we're freer than we are really, but mm-hmm. we're really, you know, pretty much held under existence. But we can learn how to live with enough. And I think that's what a lot of Americans are learning in this downward economic time.
Right.
You know, for the majority of us, we have to live with enough and be happy and content. Because a lot of medicine comes down to you when you're living right. Happiness is an important medicine, and love is very important in to live a good life. And so those little gifts are given to, like Leonard Cohen said, we might not have the looks, but we got the music.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Well, it's great to have you back in Minnesota. How often do you get back up this way?
Well, I've been back, ironically, you know, maybe a couple times a year now. And I'm going to produce an album in the upcoming years with songs from the Northland. First, I'd like to see songs from the general population, songs about the Northland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd like to see a more specific songs in Anishinaabe, songs about culture,
storytelling.
Maybe not so commercial as much as archival and presentation of the present tense. Because it's all about that, is to promote the future, archive the past, and present the present.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get a better picture of the total picture. You know, so we're not so much frozen in the ethnic-centric past.
Right.
You know, you don't have to see beads and feather on me if I play my flute. Or you don't have to see someone that's out of 1800, you know, that we're a very dynamic people
in
our whole evolution and our whole approach to that dynamic approach to life, both biologically, spiritually, metaphysically, and philosophically. You know, and entertainment can hit it on all of them levels.
Sure can. Fantastic. Well, Keith, it's been a very great pleasure to have you here today, and we look forward to your concert tonight.
All right, Miigwech. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Today's Live from Studio A is produced by Christine Dean and Chris Harwood here, with funding provided by Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage